Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope that you enjoy this message from Michael Salisbury.
Well, it is good to see you all here. Thanks for coming and joining us this morning. I had to laugh Ryan last week at the kids thing. I told him at one stage to be quiet because someone was talking from up the front. And he said, "Oh, are they talking about Jesus again?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Why do we always have to do that?" He didn't quite grasp the concept of church, so I thought I'd just, toe the party line and talk about Jesus. It seems to be the answer to most things here, doesn't it? It's like answering C in multiple choice. You're pretty safe. You're at least half the time if you say Jesus, you're probably right. It's my strategy. Anyway, so I just wanted to continue the conversation that I started a few weeks ago, where I asked, "Where is God for you?" So for those of you that weren't here, we kind of looked at how God doesn't quite fit into our limited understanding of time. We looked at the scripture out of Revelations 4:8 that says, "Day after day, night after night, they keep saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who always is, and who is still to come.'" And then out of that, we looked at probably that idea of the one who is, so that idea of the here and now. So where is God for you here and now? And we were kind of talking about, if we really try and physically break it down, where is God for you? We looked at some scriptures out of Deuteronomy 31:8 that says, "The Lord goes ahead of you, preparing the way." We looked at Isaiah 52:12, "The God of Israel will be your rear guard." We looked at Jeremiah 20:11, "But the Lord stands beside me like a great warrior." And we looked at Psalm 136 that talks about God's outstretched hand being over us. And John 10:27 that says, "No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." So we're looking at that idea that God is always 100% going before us, preparing the way. He's 100% behind us as our rear guard. He's 100% standing next to us. He's 100% above us, and he's 100% holding us in our hand. So no matter where we go, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter where we are in the present, God is there, and he's 100% engaged with you. And we kind of looked at, if we really had a better revelation of that, what would change and how would things shift? So for those of you that weren't here, that was kind of a snapshot. For those of you that were, you're probably wondering why I banged on for 35 minutes 3 weeks ago when I could have done it in two. But that's where we're at. So I kind of wanted to continue that conversation a little bit and explore that a little bit more around that idea of having a better physical connection to God, having less of an idea of him being kind of that God up in the sky and maybe a little bit disconnected, and what happens when we kind of engage with God a little more personally. So if we were here a few weeks ago and we looked at where is God for you, today I want to look at what does God look like to you. So what does God actually look like to you? I did a bit of a survey at breakfast this morning at my house. So we talked about what does God look like, which is always an interesting conversation with an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 3-year-old. So we talked about the fact that God's strong. He's very strong. God's the big one, isn't he, Dad? Not the little one. God's the big one. The fact he's got a big beard. The fact he's got long, cool hair, not like a girl, but like man's long, cool hair. We talked about the fact that he has a kind face, but he's sometimes angry, a bit like your face, Dad. And he's like a mist and a person and water all at the same time. So I don't know, when I say to you, what does God look like to you, I don't know if you even have a connection with that. But I've been thinking about it a bit this week, that what does God actually look like to you? When I talk about, when you talk about God, when you're praying, when you're thinking about God, do you have an image in your mind? Do you have a connection with, we know that proximity-wise, Moses said, the Bible says that Moses talked to God like a man would talk to his friend. So when you have conversation with God, do you have an image of who God is in your mind? What would he look like to you? So much of our tradition, I guess, teaches us that we probably shouldn't even speculate on that question. The Ten Commandments says that we're not to make any graven images of the Holy God. God's so holy that the Orthodox Jewish people don't even say his name. Islam forbids any depiction of God. Images, portrayals, other artistic means of representation are prohibited because they can limit God. God's bigger than our imagination. He's bigger than our thoughts. It's like that whole human mind with the supernatural being. John writes in the first chapter of his gospel that no one has ever seen God. I heard a story about a mother who went into the room of her six-year-old daughter, and her daughter was on the ground drawing on a bit of paper, and she said to her daughter, what are you drawing, sweetie? And the daughter looked up and said, I'm drawing God. Kept drawing, and the mother stopped her and said, honey, you can't do that. No one even knows what God looks like. And the daughter looked back at her and said, well, they will when I finish, won't they? So what does God look like to you? Because the question isn't, I think, what does God look like, but what does God look like to you? Because what he looks like to you is so much about how you experience God, who God is to you, what kind of relationship with God that you have, what elements of God, his characteristics, his attributes, his personality that you've experienced up until this point. And it would be tragic for us to limit who God is based purely on our past experiences, that we would limit what God can do in our lives based on what he has already done. We've been talking about at Compass Blokes about intentional growth this year, that we would have a desire that we would intentionally grow in our faith and in our relationship with God. I often wonder, it's an interesting thing, like when you're up here and you're sharing and people kind of come up and they go, oh, that was good. And you go, oh, great, which bit did you like? And then they don't really know. They just wander off. They're actually just being polite. Or they say, oh, that thing that you shared a couple of weeks ago, that was really good. And you go, cool, what has it changed? And they wander off uncomfortably again. And this is probably why no one gives me feedback. But I think it's really important that we don't just sit where we are in our faith, that we are called to grow, we are called to develop, we are called to desire more of God. We've been talking about with our strategy stuff that we've been doing this year and our key focus areas, and we've been looking at the moment our kind of ones that we're really focused on are around communication, around discipleship, and around prayer. And I know we've been talking about the idea of how we provide better opportunities for people to be discipled, better opportunities for people to engage in prayer, that people would have a better idea of what's going on. And ultimately, a lot of that stuff comes down to, it doesn't matter how great the program is or how fantastic the framework is or how many amazing new initiatives we have, unless you have a desire to do it. Like, we can come up with all this great stuff and our teams are doing a fantastic job, but people need to choose to want to engage in that. They need to want to grow in their faith. And for me, as we've been talking about this stuff, I've probably have had a bit of a revelation that people will want to pray and people will want to engage in discipleship stuff when they're in a really great place with God. So there's this kind of cyclic thing that happens for me and in my mind that as we grow in our personal revelation of who God is and we grow in our personal faith with God and it's growing and it's changing and it's increasing, then the natural outcome of that is that we want to pray more and we want to connect and we want to disciple more because that's what God's called us to do. And when we're in a really great space with someone that we love, well, we do stuff that pleases them and I want to have conversation with God because I'm in a good place with him. He's talking back to me. Well, he's always talking back to me, but I'm hearing him and we're engaging in this great two-way conversation. And because we're doing that, he's revealing himself more to me. And then because he's revealing himself more to me, I'm growing in my relationship with God. And because I'm growing in my relationship with God, well, I want to communicate with him more. And then you kind of get where I'm going with that. Whew. So what does God look like to you? What images come to your mind? There's always a danger when you bring your phone up that people start texting you their answers that are not appropriate to read out in church. Now, I get that God is a spirit. And so John 4:24 talks about God being a spirit. I also get that when I ask that question, what does God look like for you? It's very personal. It's very much based on our personality, our experience of God. It's based on how we see things. Who knows, like when you read a book, maybe this is just me, but you read a book and then you go and see the movie of the book, you realized how wrong they got the movie because it's not actually anything like what your mind has created, that they cast it wrong, they put the wrong scenery in it. So we all have our own personal interpretation of what that is. We all have our own personal interpretation of what the image of God that we hold in our minds. Exodus 33:20 tells us, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." So as sinful human beings, we're incapable of seeing God in all his glory. His appearance is unimaginable. It's probably quite difficult to put a framework around it. But the Bible describes God appearing to people on various different occasions. And we need to understand that these instances shouldn't be understood as describing exactly what God looks like, but rather as God revealing himself to us in a way that we can understand. So the Bible uses really powerful imagery to help our limited mind wrap ourselves around a limitless God. So two passages I want to share with you, and then I might share my image of what God looks like to me, which is in no way biblical. Okay, let's go with the Bible first, hey? Seems like a good place to start. Ezekiel 1:26 declares, "Above the expanses, over their head, was what looked like a throne of sapphire, and high above, on the throne, was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire, and that from there down he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him." And then John writes in Revelation 1:4, "His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing water. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the shining sun shining in all its brilliance." So these passages represent Ezekiel and John's best attempt to describe the appearance of God, the revelation that they had, the way that God revealed himself to him. So I want to maybe just stop for a minute and let you guys just think on what God looks like for you. I've really wrestled with this a little bit. I don't know about you. I could be the world's worst drawer. So my three-year-old's well and truly overtaken me in his drawing capabilities, and he holds the crayon like that. So I often get a picture in my mind, but the ability to take that picture and then put it on paper, there's something missing in the middle. So I'm going to kind of explain how I see God, I was going to try and draw a picture, but it was not a very good picture. So I guess for me, God is a bit like, there's elements of God, and so I can probably describe the different elements of God, and it's a little bit like, you know, those pictures where you look at it once and you see something, and then you look at it again and you actually see something different. It's a little bit like that. There's part of God for me that is like just a big lion. There's part of it that is a lamb. Now, that's probably the most biblical part of my idea of God. Part of it is like William Wallace. You know, the character out of Braveheart. He's just a bit wild and he's a bit untamed, and he fights for truth and justice, and he's willing to sacrifice himself for the good of the cause. Part of it is like the bad guy from Terminator 2. Now, you know the metal guy who can, right? Because that guy can go anywhere and he can become anything. Part of it is like, part of God is like just, I've lost about 3/4 of you, I get it. Part of you is like, part of God for me in my mind is just like this thick, all-encompassing fog. Holly and I were, before we had kids, we went to Tassie and we cruised around Tassie for a couple of weeks. And we spent a few days at Cradle Mountain, which is kind of in the middle of Tassie. And we did this all day, I'd call it a hike, but it was really just a walk, where you end up, you kind of go right around the lake and you end up right up the top of Cradle Mountain. And so I hadn't really explained to Holly how long it was going to take. It takes like kind of, I think, about 8 hours. I just said we were going for a walk. So I'd pack some stuff. So we go off and we probably get 4 hours into it and we hadn't even reached like the summity bit of the mountain. We're just still going around the lake. And we get to where you start kind of rambling up to get to the summit of Cradle Mountain. And Holly was a bit over it by that stage. And so I go, it's just up there, it's just up there. So we get up, and it's a false summit. So you can't see, but when you get to that point, you realise you've got to go down and then up quite a long way again. And Holly said, nah, that's it, you know what? I've had enough. I'm going to wait here, and you can just go and have a look. And I went, cool, do what you want. I'm going up the top. We then watched a 65 to 70-year-old couple come down the summit from right up the point. So we started to watch them down, and I looked at Holly, and she went, fine. So we go up the top of Cradle Mountain, and there was no one else up there. And we were just standing, and it's pretty spectacular. It's one of those places for me where you can really understand the awe and majesty of God. You just have one of those moments where you're like, wow, this is pretty amazing. And then a fog rolled in while we were right up the top. So there's no one else there, and within about a minute, it went from being perfectly clear to I couldn't have seen the front row. And so Holly and I were just standing in the middle, and we couldn't see anything except for just this white, thick fog. And we were a little worried because the edge was over there somewhere and then the other edge was over there and getting down was over there somewhere and we're really not sure. And so we just stood there and there was silence, like nothing. And you couldn't see anything. It was just this white fog. And we just stood there for about 20 minutes with our fingers crossed and saying a little prayer that at some stage the fog would go away and we wouldn't be stuck up the top all night. But it was just this all-encompassing fog. So part of me, when I think about God, that's part of my imagery is this all-encompassing fog. It's not scary, it's not bad, it's just all-encompassing. It's completely overwhelming and completely surrounding me. And part of the imagery for me of God is just this bright light. So if you could combine a lion, a lamb, William Wallace, the bad guy from Terminator 2, this all-encompassing fog and a bright light and combine all those. I don't even know what that looks like, but somehow that's how I think about God. That's the image of God in my mind, and depending on where I'm at in my life and what's going on, I probably connect with different elements of those. I didn't really do that great a job, did I? So how can one describe something that's never actually been seen? Although we can't know what God looks like, we can allow others to see a glimpse of him, and that's through the way we live our life. So my challenge for us all would be in the next week, identify one way in which you can help someone see what God looks like, what he really looks like. Victor Hugo said, "To love another person is to see the face of God." Because until we reach the end of our days, we'll never truly understand what God looks like. 1 John 3:3 says, we shall see him as he is when we're in heaven. So if in your mind trying to come up with an image of God is difficult because of the unending extent of who God is and all his power and glory, and maybe it's easier if we ask just how would you describe God? And we talk about his attributes and his characteristics. Though God's infinitely too difficult to articulate completely in words, the Bible uses a whole bunch of different words to describe him and his attributes. And I would hope that as we're thinking about this and we're thinking about where God is for us and the physical space and what God looks like for us and whether that's an actual image that we have or whether that's just thinking about his characteristics, we would be very open to the fact that God might want to reveal something new to us about him. So God says about him, he says in Exodus, he is Jehovah. I am who I am. He says he's the God who sanctifies. God is infinite. He's omnipotent. He is everywhere. He's all-powerful. God is good. God's love. God is the one who provides. God is the God of peace. He's immutable. He is transcendent. He is just. He's holy. God is our healer. God is self-sufficient. Acts 17 talks about that all things are God's to give, and all that is given by him. He can receive nothing from us that he has not already given to us. God's all-knowing. He's everywhere. We talked about that the other week. He's merciful. He's sovereign. God is our banner. He's our victory. We find victory through him. He's wise. He's faithful. God is wrathful. He's full of grace. He's our comforter. God is the God Almighty. He's all self-sufficient. He's the source of all blessing. God is our Father. It's interesting because I think at different stages of our life, we really connect with different elements of who God is, depending on where we're at and what's going on in our life, the experiences that we have. I know I never really connected with that idea of God as our Father until I became a dad. It was a nice idea, but probably one that I didn't have a personal connection with or a personal revelation of. And I remember Holly had given birth to Jessie, and for whatever reason, she was quite tired, and so she was, I don't know, she was having a little rest. You know when your mouth works faster than your mind? She was having a little rest, and I was sitting in the room, and I was holding Jessie, and I was just sitting in the chair, and thinking how amazing it was that I could have this heartfelt connection and love for this child that had only been born about 20 minutes beforehand and already feeling like I would do whatever I needed to do to protect her and love her, and just never really had probably felt like that about anyone before, and then realizing in that moment that that's how God felt about me. And so for us to be really open in our relationship with God to the new things that he would want, the new ways that he would want to reveal himself to us. I mean, I would hate to think that you guys would spend your life in a relationship with God that's similar to Barracking for Richmond, where you just celebrate mediocrity. You're happy with ninth. You're happy with honourable losses and good tries and being full of potential. Like, that's fine for your footy team, but it can't be okay for your relationship with God. God is strength and God is power. He is transcendent, he is mighty, he's strong. He is supreme, he has sovereignty, and there is faithfulness in his relationship with us. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. I'm getting a lot of feedback on my phone. I got a friend who's a who's a professional speaker. That's all he does. He does corporate speaking, and he goes all around the world doing it. He did a big thing for a massive organisation where they brought all of the kind of key companies that utilise their services, this big speaking organisation, international speaking organisation. So they brought all of the key companies in from around the world, and they had 100 speakers that all got 8 minutes to speak. That was a full day thing. Everyone who was in the room, who was a potential client, had a, you know, like on the election, when they do that worm thing. So they had that kind of setup. So as you were speaking, there was a screen just on the top of stage, and you could essentially watch people whether they liked you or they didn't, like instant feedback. And he said it was one of the more unnerving things that he's done, that even as he was speaking, he'd say something and he couldn't help but look, or he'd say something and he thought it was hilarious and the thing would be like... Rrr. It's kind of how I'm feeling. Holly, I got Holly to read this and she goes, "That's great, what's the point of it?" That's a good question. And so for a day or two, I probably just thought about it and I didn't really have an answer. And maybe like towards the end of the week, I felt like God was giving me some clarity on it. And the point of the message for me is to maybe challenge you guys to expand your heart views and expectations of who God is and who he can be. That he would say that he's desiring for us to be a community that's open to fresh new things. That we wouldn't limit God to our past experiences or encounters, that we wouldn't be content with where we are in our journey of faith, that we would understand that our core, we can never truly experience all of God, but we should be trying and striving, that it wouldn't be a comfortable, clean, ordered, boring faith, but we'd make a decision of intent to pursue God, to be constantly working on, believing for more of him. That we'd have a revelation, a heartfelt understanding that we shouldn't ever be content with our faith. That we should be desperately seeking what is next. That my heart would be filled with attention that's thanking God for all that he has done, acknowledging what he was doing, but still desiring to see what's around the corner in him. That if we could begin to grasp how limitless God is, we would begin to experience more of his power, his love, his grace, his forgiveness. That there would be less and less of me and more of him, that the things that weigh me down would be thrown to the side, the way I see myself would change, the way I see and interact with others would change, the way I see God would be blown away as I realize just that little bit more how amazing he is and how truly deserving of my fearful awe he is. So I guess that's my point, that we wouldn't go comfortably into the night, that we wouldn't be satisfied with a comfortable faith, with a clean, limited view of who God is. That as we realize how little of God we actually know and experience, rather than feeling defeated by that, we would be inspired and encouraged to expect for more, believing that God has got so much more for us. That we'd begin to operate out of an intent, that we would believe for a deeper, greater, more expansive heart revelation of who God actually is and how he actually feels about us. I'm just going to ask the guys to lead us into a time of worship. We'll have an opportunity for some prayer afterwards, but I just really encourage you guys in this space just to be really open to God speaking to you. We really believe in the power of prayer and the power of laying on of hands, but we also would never limit God to think that he can't just do stuff. That he can't just be at work. So as the guys just lead us into a time of worship, my prayer would be that you would just be open to God speaking to you. To be open to whatever it is that God would want to do this morning for you, with you. worship. Have an opportunity to pray with each other soon, but why don't we just stand and
thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.